Talk about like one of the most epic takedowns. To quote Shangela, time up. Hold up. Hold up, sweetheart. Let's get it together before we want to read. I don't have a sugar daddy, sweetheart. Everything I've had, I've worked for. And I can't even read this.
Reading Drag Race for messing it up and then messing it up in live, real time.
I know.
Attention. Calling all whispering hunties. Oh, crrr.
Hey.
Hi, I'm Mijan, a semi-drag race expert charged with the task of talking about queer culture and drag race around the world. We're going to keep it cute, we're going to keep it shady, but always real. So grab a snack, come on back, and let's get into those whispering hunties. Hunties.
Oh my god, is that Barbara Bush Light back on the hot dish?
It sure is, Diva.
Oh my god, hi, how are you? It is so good to see you. I'm just like verklempt. I'm, but you know, all this stuff.
It's been too long.
I know. How are you?
I'm good. Just moving along, working and keeping it moving.
Oh my gosh, so Barb, you're doing a kind of like drag race type competition in the Quad Cities?
Yeah, well, not in the Quad Cities. So this is in Iowa City, and it is called Star Search. Basically, it is like drag race, but in a bar setting. So, well, there was 12 of us before the season started, but then a couple people had dropped out. But we started the season with 10. And every week there's a challenge, a runway, and then a bottom two lip sync. Somebody goes home. Week 3 is next Sunday. I won week 1.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. It was super fun. I did a Lady Gaga cover of Bang Bang by Nancy Sinatra, and that was pretty fierce.
Love.
And then week 2, I didn't win, but I was top 2 again.
Yes.
So I'll take it. I did a Judy Garland number.
Oh, yeah. Judy.
Yeah, she's so good. And then this next week is the girl group challenge. So I'm in a team of 4 and we had to create a girl group, learn choreography, and we could do whatever we wanted. We could do pop, we could do rock, we could do whatever we wanted.
Oh my
God. So that's super fun. The runway theme is super villain. So I'm really excited about that.
Yes.
But yeah, that's in Iowa City. It's every Sunday at 9 p.m. at Studio 13. It's super, super fun.
Love. Okay, cool. We're wishing you luck. And please, please, please post highlights on the gram so we can cheer you on.
Absolutely.
Have you finished your reign from the beauty pageant that you won?
Oh my God.
The
no,
drag pageant.
So the reign is still going. Mm-hmm. It goes until, I think, when did I do that pageant? I think it was like June.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it was like a week before my birthday. So yeah, it was the rain goes until June. So that's still going. Since the last time I've been on the podcast, I did get my own show.
Oh my God, yes.
Yes, I am the hostess and producer of Dinner's Never a Drag at a little diner here in my city.
Oh,
we do
God.
It every month. I have a cast of like 4 or 5 that a few of them swap out each time. We've been selling out every time. And
yes.
Yeah, it's just been amazing. So I've been really working on that. I mean, do we want like tea? Do we want to spill some tea right away? Because there's other stuff that's going on. So like this weekend is the big Miss Gay Iowa pageant,
okay.
that I was supposed to run in, but I dropped out of.
Wait, you dropped out of the Miss Iowa drag pageant? Why?
Uh-huh. I dropped out about 4 months ago. I don't want to like go into details of necessarily the, like what exactly happened, but I will say there was just a lot of shady things being said that weren't true, information being relayed. Basically, I got myself in trouble by speaking on something that I didn't have all of the information to. And so I just was kind of like, ugh, you know what? I don't like being lied to. So I was just like, you know what? I'm good on this. So.
Oh my God.
But it's fine. I'm entering my rebel era, so it's okay.
You've always been a rebel. I think all drag queens are rebels. And for new listeners of the show, Barbara Bushlight is this fabulous drag queen, queen of the Quad Cities.
Yes, ma'am.
And if you're living at home, does that mean it's still in the Quad Cities? I didn't think you were originally from there.
No. For those that don't know, the Quad Cities is right on the Illinois-Iowa border, right on the Mississippi. The river is literally like 3 blocks from my apartment. So I'm like right on that line. But I'm originally up towards Chicago. So my hometown is about halfway between where I am now and Chicago, in the middle of nowhere. So.
Okay. And then this show that you're doing, is that in the Quad Cities or is it in Chicago?
No. It's in the Quad Cities. It's about 10 minutes from my place. It's a cute little diner right downtown, right? Literally the diner. It's a second floor diner and they have a full patio as well. And when you go out on the patio, you can look out and you can see the Mississippi. You can see the giant bridge that connects the two states. In that area, there's a ballpark right to the right of it. There's like a giant Ferris wheel and all kinds of fun stuff. And at night, everything is just lit up. It's really, really pretty.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Always knew that there was a solo show in your future.
Yeah.
And you know what? Even if US of A pageant, don't have you for the next 2 years, you're just going to become that much better of a performer over the next 2 years. So when you make your triumphant return, you'll come to slay.
Let's not talk about returns. The only return I want to talk about is my tax return. That's the only one I care about.
Oh my God.
But also, I was going to say, with my dinner, I just actually took on a partner. And so we are going to be starting up brunches as well. So,
yes, brunches.
Yeah. So, we're going to do brunches and dinners. And then, of course, at the bar in my town, I still have my like monthly or like bi-monthly shows that I do. We just did a drag roulette a couple months ago where the audience picked all of our music.
Oh, I love that.
So that was fun. So yeah, just all kinds of fun stuff going on in the land of Barbara.
Yes, the land of Barbara. So what's a safe queer space that you enjoy in the Quad Cities that people may not know about?
Honestly, I gotta say the diner where we do the dinners and brunches.
What is the name of the diner?
It's literally just called The Diner.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's literally called The Diner. And I love it because their whole vibe, like their logo is the Golden Girls. So right there, like, you know that this place is going to be very loving and accepting and just all around great. And working with them and like being there and getting like brunches, they got great drinks, great prices on all their food and drinks. You can go in for like one of their famous brunch burgers and a side and a drink, and it's like $10. It's really great. A good chunk of their staff falls on the queer spectrum somewhere. I mean, it's just, they're an amazing, amazing place to go. So if you're ever in the Quad Cities, particularly in Davenport, Iowa, check out The Diner on River Drive. They've got amazing food and drinks and a very safe atmosphere.
Oh my God. Well, I definitely will be hitting up The Diner for, you know, some pancakes, some drag, and maybe a cocktail. Is there alcohol?
They have a full bar. Yep, they have a full bar. They have like 15 different flavors of mimosas too, so that's also really fun.
15 different flavors of mimosas. Yeah. As I live and breathe, that is a blessing.
They're crazy. Those girls work hard.
Let's teach people something super quick.
Every year, more people die from getting hit on the head with coconuts than they do from shark attacks.
Like dead?
It's not that many, because like only like one or two people, I think, die from shark attacks every year. The low teens for the coconuts.
Coconuts are hard.
Teach me something good.
Now on your local favorite podcast thing.
Yeah, all podcast things.
Hello there. Ever wonder if you're using the right service? Tooltip is a website that helps you find the right tools 10 times faster. And now it has a podcast called Tooltip Time. We're your hosts, Mijan Zulu and Jude Brewer. Join us as we're tasked to explore different tools and, warning, sometimes things may get weird, but we'll always let you know the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our first season is about a topic that's near and dear to our hearts, podcasting. We are two people from the industry that are committed to finding the stuff that actually works so that you can make the best decision for you, your project, or your business. See you on Wednesday for Tooltip Time. You can listen to us wherever you get your podcasts.
And instead of having 515,000 drag races out there, we only have one just now.
515,000. Right? Come on, rent Seasons of Love, but for drag race seasons. Yeah. How many seasons are there? 525,000.
600. So as you know, like Whispering Hot Teas has been not a labor of love. It's been a joy to participate in.
Yes.
But honestly, it got to the point where there were so many drag races that I just told Nick, I was like, look, we need to take a break.
Yeah.
Because I'm so tired of watching this goddamn TV show.
Yeah.
We took a 2-week hiatus off and then Nick decided to leave the podcast. But when I came back to the podcast without Nick, I fall in love with the TV show again.
Yeah.
And it's so refreshing
to
not have Drag Race all the time. So I really hope that's, you know, God willing, there'll be a lull at some point in this year.
Right.
And I'll be able to take another vacation off, or I may have to do it like manually. Do you know what I mean? Just like being like, okay, sorry, guys, I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Right.
But we only have one right now, and episode 4 just aired, and it was kind of a slow start. So I'm glad that you missed the first 2 episodes.
Yeah.
Because they split them in half. But now we have all the queens are together and we're finally getting to see them compete. So apparently, you know, as we were talking about before we started recording, you have a lot of opinions.
I do.
And we're here for it.
Yeah. Like I said, you know, I haven't been watching this season, but I've been keeping up with like the details of like who's lip syncing, who's going home. I know about the chocolate bar thing. Like, I know about all the big details of it. I know there's a cis hetero man, which we love. So I've been keeping up with the details of it from afar.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So Jasmine comes back. I kind of had the same feeling that Cornbread had. Like, love her. She's super sweet. But, like, she doesn't always know what to say and where to say it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Bosco said it best. It's a lot of emotion for Sage.
I know. Bosco's like kind of like a sleeper killer, because I thought that Bosco was just as boring as Orion's story. But it turns out that Bosco's like way more interesting on the side panel. And like, Bosco actually has style.
Yeah.
So like, I'm here for Bosco. I want more Bosco. I want her to be respected for the drag that she's bringing to the competition.
Yeah.
And I want more of her, you know, what are the talking head? Yeah. I want more of her talking head.
Yeah. No, Bosco's great. I, again, was not very sure of her in the beginning, but I love, now that I'm like kind of seeing more Bosco, I actually really am starting to like Bosco.
Okay, so Jasmine, like, it seems to be having trouble with herself, but then Cornbread really is taking it to her. Do you know what I mean? And it's funny because I had her drag mother on the podcast last week.
You had Cornbread's mother?
No, I had Jasmine Kennedy's drag mother on the podcast last week. And she was so lovely. And so I do think that, like, Jasmine comes from, like, a good drag home. Her heart's in the right place. I just think it's, like, it's a young thing. You know what I mean? Like, she doesn't know how to, like, speak to people without, like, pissing them off.
So I kind of relate to Jasmine in that sense, because I also am someone who likes to talk a lot, and I'm always justifying myself. This, I don't know necessarily Jasmine's doing this. I'm someone who's always feeling like I have to justify everything I say and do.
Mm-hmm.
It's like every decision I make, I'm always like, oh, well, I have to justify this to everyone in the room. Mm-hmm. But in reality, like, I don't have to do that. And I think that that's kind of what Jasmine's going through in her head. And also, I mean, it's reality television. Everybody reacts to it differently. So with Jasmine being on this big platform, there's so much pressure to always be kind of cautious of what you're saying and doing. So I think maybe that's getting into her head a bit. Do I think that Cornbread was right in, you know, kind of calling her out and making her feel bad for it? Absolutely not. Cornbread was being way too much. Like, I was so over it the moment Cornbread opened her mouth and made Jasmine feel bad. Because there's ways that she could have gone about it. She could have pulled her aside and said, hey, like, you know, just so you know, this is an observation I and others have made. You know, and they could have made it like a more intimate, like, couch moment with just the one and two of that, of the two of them, versus Cornbread making a scene about it in front of everyone the way she did, and kind of put Jasmine on the spot.
Yeah, and I think that sometimes when you single someone out in public and kind of like berate them, which I don't think it was a full berating, but
no.
When you single someone out like that, they have to deal with it in real time and they don't get to process it.
Yeah.
So I feel like you could see like the panic in like Jasmine's eyes as she was being called out and then trying to defend herself and then interrupting Cornbread and then Cornbread saying, stop interrupting me. And then she interrupts her again.
Yeah.
And it's just
the
like...
whole thing was just a mess and it did not need to happen the way that it happened. But I mean, producers yeah. love that, so.
I know. And I think that Cornbread, like I said, it's like she's the candy muse of the season, but like.
Just more polished.
Yeah, no, she's producing. She's like Candy Muse and what's her face? And Silky Nutmeg Ganache had a baby because yeah. it's like she knows what she's doing.
I feel like
and
the
she's
difference
also
though,
producing the show.
With Cornbread, I feel like even though Cornbread is like loud and over the top and obnoxious, I feel like she kind of comes at it with a good heart. Whereas mm-hmm. like, so obviously knowing Silky now from All Stars and seeing kind of her growth, I see kind of where she was coming from at that point. But like Candy, she was just abrasive for no reason. She was just like, I'm Brooklyn. Like, she was just like,
she's from the Bronx. How dare you? How dare you?
She's from where?
Well, I mean, she's a Brooklyn drag queen, but like, she's from the Bronx.
Oh.
She's not from Brooklyn.
Girl, I don't know. It's all Manhattan to me. I live in the cornfield, so I don't know. I don't know the different neighborhoods, really. But yeah, I just like, I feel like Cornbread, at least, she's got a heart in there.
Yeah, no, she does. She does. No, it's just so funny. Like, so in New York, where you're from, like the borough is like such a big deal.
Really?
And like people get like insulted. You know, they're like, oh, I live in Manhattan. It's like, oh, no, you live in Queens. Like, don't, you know, and then like Staten Island like doesn't even exist. So it's just like, or like if you're from Jersey.
I guess Chicago's kind of like that, too. So I guess I should probably, I mean, I'm not that familiar with Chicago either. Like literally the city where mm-hmm. I live in, it's the Quad Cities and there's four cities technically, but like we're all just mm-hmm. trash. So. Well, okay, actually I lied. There definitely is a, you know, Bettendorf is like the rich of the four cities, whereas Moline, mm-hmm. the city I live in, is like the poverty stricken city. Davenport's okay. got all like the main gun violence and then,
oh my gosh.
And then Rock Island is kind of a mix of the three. So there definitely oh is that kind of classist, like, oh, you're from that neighborhood. So I guess I can see that.
Oh my gosh. Please be safe. Please be safe.
Oh, I'm good. Okay. Like, Moline is not gun violence. We're just poverty. So it's fine.
Okay. Okay. I like a good scenic neighborhood.
Yeah.
Okay. So in watching the show, I was kind of surprised that Georges was so shy when at the start of the challenge. I was like, girl, like the challenge hasn't even started yet and you already look scared.
Yeah.
I'm like, how are you supposed to get through the rest of this TV show if this is how you are reacting to a challenge? Like, I just don't get
well,
it.
Well, I mean, some people, and this is no shade to Georges because I've followed Georges for years. I was so excited when I saw Georges got on and I love watching her perform.
Mm-hmm.
Some people can only do one thing.
Mm.
And outside of that one thing, they're deer in headlights. So Georges can dance. And Georges is yeah. gorgeous.
Georges is gorgeous. She's gorgeous, yeah.
But like outside of that,
yeah.
Not gonna say there's nothing there, but it definitely comes off as like the lights are on, but no one's home.
I know. And then like the thing is she's 21, right? So I was just like, I was thinking to myself, I was like, if that's the case, like why did you try out for Drag Race? Like you could have waited like two more years or something.
I mean, Violet Chachki did it. At 21.
Violet Chachki was Violet Chachki.
I mean, sure. She was on a season that was literally just all about fashion. That's how, if it wasn't all about fashion, she wouldn't have. Never mind. That's a different can of worms for another day.
I would also argue that Violet Chachki has almost like a timeless drag. Like,
yes.
She's almost from like a different era.
Yeah.
She's iconic, really.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you're iconic, go ahead.
Yeah.
But if you're like a very pretty drag queen that dances and, you know, lip syncs, it's like, isn't that like many drag queens? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you have to have like your own point of view.
And I'm not, in no way am I shading queens that just dance or whatever. I just was making a point that saying like, when you do something like Drag Race,
mm-hmm.
you have to be prepared for everything that they could throw at you.
Yeah.
And then when you go in at a young age and you don't have a very diverse wheelhouse of what you can do, you're going to mm-hmm. be a deer in headlights. And I think that that's kind
yeah.
of the pressure was getting to her.
And then you know what's so funny though? Usually with these acting challenges, they're like hard to watch and they're just bad.
They're so cringy.
I want something better to happen than like watching another badly written script that's like a spoof of a bad movie. And this idea of doing a teaser, they've never done it before. Yeah. So I love a new challenge.
Yeah.
And it was actually funny. Like watching the teaser, I laughed so hard to both videos.
Yeah, it was good.
And they cut it really well, which means that when they do these stupid other challenges with the bad scripts, they could have cut it better.
Yeah. But also I think too, concept-wise, this was something so new that we hadn't seen done before. Meanwhile, mm-hmm. the other acting challenges are mainly like either commercials or a script parody of a already known TV show or, you know, something like that. So I feel like those are probably why people don't react to them well, because they're just very stale and they seem forced. Whereas this kind of acting challenge, it seemed, while it was technically scripted still, it seemed more natural and it seemed more like, yes, it was over the top, but it was enjoyable because it wasn't something that was forced.
I wish we could bring that magic to the other acting challenges because it's almost never there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Jared was so funny. Deja Sky was so funny. Like Willow Pill was killing me. I mean, I think Willow could have won the challenge, but I don't think they wanted to give her like a back-to-back win.
Can I just say my favorite part of this acting challenge was Deja Sky. And it literally is so... I was watching this challenge and I actually bust out laughing when Angeria's going in and Tish just like, help me up.
With the nip slip?
Yes. I freaking lost it because I'm like, that is me. Like backstage at a show. Oh, damn, my number's up. It's me. Help me up. And so I related.
Oh, my God.
Nip slip and all.
Well, I'm here for Deja Sky because she's a curvy queen and she's bringing beautiful garments to the runway and she's funny. Like, you know, she wasn't funny that first challenge where she was trying to teach people how to cheer, unfortunately. But
that could have been so funny if she just thought about it more.
Yeah, it's like if she did something, it would have been funny.
Yeah.
You know, but she didn't do anything. So.
Yeah. Like, go on, girl. Give us nothing. Yes.
living.
No, I'm existing. Not living, I'm just here.
One thing that I was really, really sad about is they messed up the Shangela monologue.
Oh, I didn't even notice it.
They were like making fun of like older episodes.
Right.
And one of the ideas that they had where they were like, instead of like sugar daddy, they were like, I don't have a meaty tuck. I'm not going to have a meaty tuck or whatever.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah. And I was like, I was waiting for that because that is literally one of my favorite speeches.
Yeah. Shangela. I mean, when you take on a challenge like that, it just really goes back to even with like the acting challenges with like the scripts of shows that are already existing. It really just comes back to if you're going to take on something that someone has already done, you have to do it even better. And if you miss key points of it, then it's just going to flop.
Mm-hmm. Talk about like one of the most epic takedowns. To quote Shangela. Time up. Hold up. Hold up, sweetheart. Let's get it together before we want to read. I don't have a sugar daddy, sweetheart. Everything I've had, I've worked for. And I can't even read this.
Reading Drag Race for messing it up and then messing it up in live, real time.
I know. Everything I've had, I've worked for, and I've worked for to get, and I've built myself. You need to know that 100%. I don't have a sugar daddy. I've never had a sugar daddy. If I wanted to have a sugar daddy, yes, I probably could go out and get one because I am what? Sickening. You could never have a sugar daddy because you are not that kind of girl, baby. Everything I've had, I've worked for, and I've gotten myself. I built myself up from the ground.
Yes. End quote.
Let's cut straight to the runway because the challenge was obviously sickening. Like whoever won was just like whoever needed to win because Willow could have won. You know, Maddie was amazing. Cornbread was great. But let's talk about this JLo runway. First of all, Willow hit it out the park.
Yeah, Willow looked great.
Cornbread, I did not understand what the f*** was going on with Cornbread's outfit. It just looked so weird to me. I was like, why'd you pick that? Doesn't look good on your body. And then what is up with that wig? Lady Camden.
Lady
Camden. I was just like, what? I just didn't get it. I was like, okay, this is what you're serving? Okay. Bosco Bosco looked so beautiful in gold.
That was good.
And it was just, it was so right. And I was just like, this is why I respect what Bosco is bringing. Because she really is just coming to serve the same way that Carrie did. Because, and I was like, I was at a bar watching this live. The whole room, when Carrie walked out, was like, yes, people were clapping. You know, like people, I mean, people didn't necessarily get out of their seats, but they would have if they didn't want to keep their seats. Georges, I was really, really underwhelmed because I was like, if you're a Latina queen, like this should be a challenge that you serve. It's freaking J-Lo.
Yeah, and she chose a dance catsuit of J-Lo's. Like, it was just kind of like, okay.
I know. And the worst part was like, J-Lo looked way better in that catsuit. I guess it just like wasn't her nude because when J-Lo did it, it was almost as if she was naked and it just, it looked like the Halloween version of like what J-Lo did. And that was really disappointing. Yeah. Jasmine Kennedy, I was just like, why? Like, why did you choose that outfit?
Oh, I disagree.
Really?
Oh, I disagree with a few of your opinions before, but keep going, keep going.
Okay, love, love, love. With Maddie Morphosis, I was also like, no. I was like, no. Why is this happening to me? I want my money back. With Deja Sky, they kept on saying, like, she did it better than J-Lo, but I was like, J-Lo was wearing Versace print, and that is, like, specific.
And Deja was wearing Mood fabric.
Yeah. I was like, no, this is not right. Diabetti, boring. And then Angeria, when she walked out in that crystal, I was like, yes, this is what I came here for. She looked amazing. She looked like a flapper. And then Alyssa Hunter. Why? I also thought it was so weird that she opened the blazer after, like, getting to the bottom of the runway. She should have opened the blazer when she walked out. Because the only cool thing about her outfit was that corset.
So, I have some opinions.
Okay.
So, I'll just start by in order of what I'm seeing on this post. So, Bosco looked amazing. Dripping in gold, literally. Yeah. So good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Georges, no. It was just too plain. I will say, of the two catsuit choices we have between Georges and Diabetti, Diabetti looked better. I liked how it was very, very identical to what J-Lo had. And Georges' was too, but when you do a nude illusion, if it's not full-on nude illusion, it fails, in my opinion. Alyssa Hunter was good. I thought her corset could have fit a little better. That was my only gripe with hers. I felt like her corset in the top, it was way too big. And also in the back, you've got this silver crystalled corset, stunning. Why do you have black corset strings exposed?
Oh, no. She could have spray painted that.
Like, she should have swapped her strings out. Yes. Or swapped the strings out or something. Or, like, gotten a silver panel to, like, and sewed it on and then and had it come over. But yeah, no, that was is what took me out about hers. Lady Camden, she looked fine.
I just thought it was a boring outfit. Like, it's like, of all the J-Lo things, that's what you chose? Like, no.
That, when I saw that, I did not know what J-Lo that was.
Yeah.
Deja's.
It's like, J-Lo wore that?
Jennifer Lawrence? Like, what J-Lo are we talking about? Like,
literally, it was a J-Law, not a J-Lo.
It was a J-Law. Deja Sky, again, she looked fine. Fine.
Yeah.
Angeria. Her dress was cute.
Mm-hmm.
I am so tired of those ugly rhinestone swim caps. I hate them.
Well, I know.
Rihanna did it one time, and then everyone and their grandmother thinks they can pull them off, and they just look hideous. The only other person that I've seen with a beaded fringe, like wig or cap of any kind that I actually liked was Coco Montrese when she came back as a lip sync assassin in All Stars. Hers was stunning.
She looked so good.
But this, this rhinestone bowl cut, I hate it. I hate it. But the rest of her dress is cute. It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, she had the body for it. It was right.
Yeah. Oh, it was right. Titties were out. Yeah, it looked good.
Mm-hmm.
Cornbread. Yeah, I feel like for J-Lo, that hair needed some body.
All the J-Lo hair was bad. Like, I don't understand how no one could get that nice, like, honey that she has.
Yeah.
Everyone wanted to do dark roots.
Yeah.
And I was like, she may have dark roots, but they're not black dark roots. They're, like, brown.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like...
Yeah. If Deja's hair was lighter, like in the middle to the end, hers would have been the closest to J-Lo, but even still, hers was way too dark.
Mm-hmm.
Willow Pill looked amazing. Orion looked really good. I really liked the stone work on that red velvet. It looked beautiful. The hair, again, though, hated that hair. But her dress was stunning.
The hair took it out for me because I was like, and Orion was like, even in Untucked, Orion was like, yeah, I was really glad that I turned it out. And I was like, but the wig. And when you look at the original J-Lo outfit for that, J-Lo had better hair.
J-Lo had better hair than all of them.
Yeah.
Combined.
And it's like, how? I know, but I was like, you can't disrespect J-Lo and like by like not having good hair. Like it's like part of drag.
Though with J-Lo, she's never really been seen, and I could be wrong completely in saying this. So like, you know, Latina queens everywhere, come for me. It's fine. J-Lo has never, to me, been seen as like a fashion icon. So when it comes to like picking looks for her, her most memorable looks, I feel like, for the most part, were the ones that were picked. But even then, they still were just kind of, you know, like, I never really see J-Lo as like a fashion icon.
I do think that like she has had memorable performances. And so those looks, I think, are the ones that people should have been dragging. Yeah. I wish someone had done J-Lo as Selena. I
was surprised no one did J-Lo as Selena.
Yeah, that would have been cute.
Oh, I forgot Carrie. I forgot about Carrie. Literally wearing J-Lo's dress. Stunning. Hair was wrong. Again.
But here's the thing. Carrie looked dewy and had good skin. And I feel like that is what I expect from J-Lo. You know what I mean? Like, everyone should have been dewy.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to darken your skin, but I think a good spray tan could have, like, gone a long way on a lot of these girls.
Yeah.
Because she just has this, like, you know, sun kiss. That's what it is. J-Lo has always had sun kiss. So I was expecting to see, like, really dewy makeup. And when I didn't see it, I was like, okay, well, you guys, you tried.
Yeah, and so we got this dry-ass, powdery, crunchy makeup.
I know. But you know what the funniest thing is? After Carrie Colby looked so stunning, it was so funny that Michelle, for the first time, was giving, like, actual advice that Carrie Colby could use. Do you know what I mean? How, like, sometimes, like, Michelle will just say, like, whatever the judges need to say at the time. Mm-hmm. But she was actually giving her good advice, which is, like, if you're serving, like, real, right? The judges are going to want to see if you can be funny or you know, dramatic or expressive. And to be honest, during the lip sync, like, she wasn't giving a lot of energy. She just looked gorgeous.
That lip sync pissed me off more than anything.
Have you watched all the lip syncs? They have not been that good.
Yes. I haven't liked any of them so far.
Yeah.
The only one I did like partially was this lip sync, and they sent the wrong queen home. Ooh, I said it.
Oh my God. You think that Alyssa did better? Well,
absolutely.
Mean, if Alyssa hadn't gone for the gun thing, I think she may have had a fighting chance.
This is my problem with Drag Race. They took that one small gun prop, and the minute she picked it up, we couldn't even see her really try to mess with it. They immediately cut to a confessional of Willow being shady. So it's like, you know, it's just like, give her a second. Sometimes props need like a second to go off or something. Because eventually it did. Like, you saw money go off out of it. So, like, I feel like that was absolutely produced to get her out of there because RuPaul's tired of being called transphobic. Why would he send Carrie Colby home second?
Oh.
I don't care. Send her home. She's boring.
I mean, I do think that Carrie Colby is in danger because, like, she's very pretty. But between the jump rope and the lip sync, I'm like,
God,
girl, you need to come with more.
She came out there and did that jump rope. And I said, huh? What? I was like, what? Like, don't get me wrong. She had skills. But like, I just didn't understand.
I know. A talent show isn't like, I can do something random. It's like, I can do something well and wow you.
Yeah. And she says, guys, I can jump rope.
And she's like, I could jump rope in high school. So she's like, I haven't even done it in a couple of years. I was like, did you practice? Did you not know that there was a talent show?
Like, could you imagine this conversation with production? So, Carrie, what are you planning to do for the talent show? I really don't know. I was thinking about jump roping. And they're like, okay, what else you got? And she's like, I can be a pointer sister and do just a lip sync. I could do that. And they're like, no, stick to the jump roping.
Oh,
she's like,
God.
Okay. And then she's like, guys, look what I can do.
What?
I hated it.
Well, I mean, you know, for all intents and purposes, maybe she offered to lip sync, but then Diabetti had already called that, so she had to do something else.
I mean, honestly, I wish she would have done the lip sync because Diabetti was even worse in that challenge.
So crazy. Oh, my God. Anyway, Carrie lives to slay another day, which is fine. Cornbread cries on stage because it's the Cornbread show. Cornbread basically owns the show. She's producing it. She's getting all the camera time. And if Will... It literally is. And if Willow Pill would stop being so talented and funny, yeah, like Cornbread would have this in the bag. But like, you yeah, know, they're pinning them as like mm-hmm, friends, but also as slightly competitors. But I think Cornbread's being really smart in the way that she's developing a close relationship with Willow, yeah, so that like she can like use some of Willow's like juice. You know, like you can tell with how like the friendships go, like when they were picking the queens and like, you know, how like the order went where they're like, oh, well, guess who's in the bottom? Yeah. It was like Orion's story and like Jasmine. And it's like, well, clearly the stronger queens, they've already acknowledged each other and they respect each other and they pick each other accordingly.
Yeah. I just love how, though, technically Jasmine was good in her talent show and whatnot, and she was still picked last. Like, she hadn't been bottom at all. And the fact that, like, none of the bottom queens, like, even Diabetti, who was one that had technically got eliminated, was picked before Jasmine.
It's cruel, but I'm telling you, Cornbread is using, like, some bamboozlement to, like, get inside of Jasmine's head. And I feel like as yeah, soon
it's
as...
voodoo.
Yeah, it's
voodoo. She's doing voodoo.
Okay, no, but I mean, honestly, like, I think Cornbread is using her amazing social skills to make sure that she's the queen bee. So, like, even if she does, like, okay, people will be like, oh, no, that's Cornbread. She's great. You know what I mean? Like, she's convincing us that she should be in the top three.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, though, I'd do the same thing.
Half of Drag Race is how you play the reality game.
Yeah.
It's how much camera time you can get on. It's how much you can, like, create gag-worthy moments yeah, and, you know, throw a little shade.
Well, and if you're good with your words, you can even make your team feel like it's their fault that you guys failed. Like, we gaslight in this house, mama.
I can't wait for Corvo to struggle with something and then literally gaslit Jasmine Kennedy into thinking it's her fault.
Gaslight gatekeep girl boss. No, literally, Cornbread f***s up the challenge. She's like, I don't know how, but it is somehow Jasmine's fault. And Jasmine's like, but I don't know how it's my fault. You're talking over me. Then on stage, Jasmine's like, I really dropped the ball for my team. You mean Cornbread, who's on the other team? Yeah, but I know I somehow dropped the ball.
Stop interrupting me, Jasmine. Stop.
Stop interrupting me from across the workroom. You are the reason yeah, why my team is failing.
This will happen. You heard it here first.
Oh my God. I'm on the production team, so I will make it happen. Yeah.
Yeah, clearly. Okay.
They should have me on there and really stir some up.
Oh my God, you'd be amazing. Yeah. No, so we'll see what happens. Yeah. But I honestly think that right now, top three for me are still Cornbread, Angeria, and Willow Pill.
For me, I mean, granted, I've only really watched this episode. The three that I am kind of rooting for, I love Willow Pill, love Deja Sky, and Jasmine Kennedy. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Yeah, Willow, Deja, and that's honestly about it. That's really all I care about.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm into it.
I feel like I should say Orion just in case she hears this because we're friends on Facebook.
Oh, my gosh.
But like...
You don't have to say it if you don't mean it. Jesus.
No, Orion's right. Great. Orion's great. I do enjoy Orion.
Look, everyone is talented in their own magical yeah, way. I'm just saying, like, it's not showing on the show. So we're still waiting for her to come.
Yeah.
So, and maybe she will. Maybe she will. Anything yeah, is possible.
Maybe she'll get the Willy Wonka golden ticket.
This stupid chocolate.
Which also, this stupid chocolate bar. I am like, what in the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is going on?
I know,
here?
Right?
Like, what happens if they get the golden ticket? Like, do they get to take over and they're the new host of Drag Race? Like, what? Like, I don't understand. Like, do they personally get to, like, go up to RuPaul and perform some magic and like suck all the rest of her life force out of her and like take over, or like whatever life force is left, or do they get to like take over her farm where all the fracking is, or like what are they like?
I mean, the silliest thing about this golden ticket is it just means that you get to stay for another week and then probably leave.
Oh, you know, and I also bet as incentive, they also get the Confederate flag dress. I bet that's what it is, too.
Oh, my God. The Confederate flag dress.
Me continuing to seal my fate that I'll never get on Drag Race. So I just constantly talk.
Oh, my God. As we should.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll leave that for the listeners to digest.
Yeah.
Well, Barbara, it has been such a pleasure. On Whispering Hunties, we do like to have the consensual, fervent, and impassioned stalking of all of our guests, online or in person, to make sure that you are getting the likes, getting the follows, and hopefully getting tipped. So where can people find you, stalk you, lift you up in a consensual manner?
So I'm on Instagram at Barbara Bush Light. Bush spelled like the beer, not the first lady. And then I would give you my Twitter, but it's a private Twitter.
Ooh, sexy.
Not for me. I mean, it's what everyone else uses it for. But I mean, I guess actually I am on Twitter. I forgot I do have a public page. Let me look it real quick.
Oh my God. Hit me up on Twitter. Whispering Hunties is now tweeting and twatting. So if you want to join in the convo, we are live tweeting Drag Race de temps en temps.
My Twitter is at Thick Bitch Barb, thick with two C's.
Love that.
Don't add me on Facebook, so I'm already almost maxed out. Oh, I'm also on TikTok.
Your talks are life.
Did you see the one I just posted today?
No. What's it about?
So there's a store. It's a computer store like that fixes your technology, and it's called Fruit Fixer. I like got a video of myself like in front of it, and it was just like I was like, you will not convert me to heteroism, like, because it's called Fruit Fixer.
Yeah.
So I posted that one today, but my TikTok is at Barbara Bush Light as well.
Love.
You can also find me in pretty much all over Iowa, performing at bars. If you follow me on any of those socials, I post flyers and everything, so you'll see where I'm at next.
Amazing. Well, it is such a pleasure to have you back in the Hunty House. You are one of our favorite guests, so thank you. Please,
of course.
Please be well, please be safe, and enjoy fun at the diner.
Yes, absolutely. Ugh, I always do.
Amazing. All right. Till next week, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Apocalypse Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com. And remember, every time you support one of our sponsors, you're supporting the podcast you just heard.